Record.
All right, very good. Welcome, everybody. This is the August 10th Aries Working Group call. I am your substitute host today. Sam had another appointment that he had to take care of, and I think he might be coming a little later. Let's see, I need to make you aware of the Hyperledger antitrust policy. And is there anybody new here today that would like to introduce themselves? Also, I'll post the wiki link again just in case. Sometimes, I guess, when people come in.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Nathaniel Jr.
Hi, Nathaniel.
My first meeting.
Excellent. Great to have you. Do you want to tell us anything about your interests with Aries?
Okay. Yeah. We're a corporation that we came up with the idea of decentralized identity for Africa. And we are trying to set up everything for that. And we choose Aries as our agent, mobile agent, and also cloud agent for holding credentials. So the integration process is what has driven our interest here.
Excellent. Very good.
So decentralized Africa.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. This is the general Aries Working Group meeting. So this is perfect for you. And then depending on which cloud agent and mobile agent that you're working with, there's meetings for those groups as well. So glad to have you.
Thank you very much.
Anybody else?
Hey, good morning. I am Helen Garneau. I'm with Indicio. I do marketing at Indicio, and I'm here to help support the interop event efforts and help with coordination of sort of the planning aspects that need to take place in order to have a successful event. So I just wanted to say hello, and when we get to that point, I have some documents and things to share for the group to review before we publicly announce. So just want to say hello.
Great. Yeah, thank you, Helen. And yeah, we'll be definitely talking about interop here at the interopathon at the top here. So yeah, looking forward to it. Okay, anybody else? Awesome. Okay, let's see here. Just going through my list. Yep, we talked about the antitrust policy. Yep, feel free to add yourself to the attendees list if you'd like. Okay, and announcements. So the Aries Interopathon is proposed for August 31st from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. Mountain Time. I guess that's a wide range. So I guess that'll get discussed. The Hyperledger Global Forum in Dublin, September 12th through 14th. Anybody going that wants to give a shout out?
I'm going, and also Sam Kern will be there. He will be actually attending Global Forum, and then he is also going to be at the Open Source Summit Europe, which is taking place that same week. And there will be an Aries and Indie sort of mini summit is what they're calling it, or a Hyperledger mini summit during OSS for those kind of, because there is such an overlap. So I believe Sam has been tapped to help support the efforts to bring Indie and Aries to that mini Hyperledger Summit at OSS, if that's not confusing enough. But if anybody has any questions, feel free to reach out.
Awesome. Anyone else?
Yeah, we are going to, myself and my team, we are going.
Yeah, very good. Excellent. You'll get to hopefully connect with a lot of these people. Very good. All right. And then the Rebooting Web of Trust in The Hague, September 26th through 30th. All right. Before we get started, is there any particular topics? I see Sam posted some of the notes from last week. I think so. We'll definitely talk about Interopathon. Are there any other topics that you want me to add to the list? I see protocol for requesting shortened URLs for Teemo. I'm not sure if that was just for last week or today. We're happy to talk about it. And machine readable governance update for by Mike. Okay, and then we can also add future topics at any time during the meeting. So just go ahead and give a shout out if there's a topic that you'd like us to add to the list. Just keep that as a running log. All right, very good. What's the updates on the Interopathon?
Sure. So I just wanted to review some of the final pieces of sort of planning documentation. I think there's a link there if you want to click on it for the planning doc.
Ooh. Sorry, give me one second. I have overlapping windows. Okay, here we go.
No worries. Yeah, so this document just shows kind of what the event is, when it's happening. there are links. I created a Zoom registration link, so there'll be a new Zoom to register for that particular event. I'm totally open to just using this same Zoom link as well. But I thought that it would be good if there's like other folks and we're publicizing it, you know, outside of the wiki. I don't know. I didn't want any weird Zoom bombing stuff happening. So anyways, I created a new Zoom link and the Google registration form link is also there as well. The Hyperledger Foundation staff made that nice little graphic. You saw the header at the top there and they put it in to the registration doc. Or the form, excuse me, the sign up form. So if you want to scroll down a little bit, there's a couple of questions I just had just to make sure that we were all on the same page. These are all the items I believe I took from the notes that will be testing. Is this accurate that any participant is welcome as long as they support DIDCOM? Do they need to support DIDCOM or no?
Yeah.
They do, okay. And then DIDCOM connections V1 or out of band. Should that be V2 now or no? Sorry, the line above it. I wasn't quite sure if those are accurate statements.
So it says DIDCOM connection protocol version 1 or okay. out of band messages for invitations and DID exchange. So the basic idea is that we're going to be testing some methods to connect. And those are the two primary mm-hmm. ones, connections being the legacy version and out of band being the new version. So those are correct statements about connection protocols.
Okay. And then presentation of self-attested demographic data. I wasn't sure if that was still left over from kind of other interopathons and other communities, specifically Cardia, or if that was still accurate for this Aries community as well.
I believe that one's a leftover from Cardia. I don't think that one's going to be a highlight of this particular interopathon.
Okay, Lance, if you want to go ahead and delete that bullet point, that'd be helpful. Yeah, perfect.
Same thing with. I don't think that we're going to be doing basic messages or Q&A either. I think it's both basically the list of targets and bonus targets, and those two can go as well.
Okay.
Is that correct? Anybody disagree? Sounds like I got it right. Okay, cool.
Perfect. So we'll stick to those targets and the bonus targets. Is there links to, if you scroll a little bit further down, we have another events, we call them reference implementations, but I know that there's the Aries I believe, testing harness, or are those one and the same in this case? Is the reference implementation, what will they be testing against, I guess, is my question.
I don't know if we're going to be anointing any single agent as the gold standard here.
Okay.
I think that we told people to use the Aries test harness to go through the interop profile for those specific tests. So I guess as close as you get would be, you know, the Aries test harness would be the standard here.
Okay, so instead of reference implementation available, we could say refer to the Aries test harness for pre-event prep. Okay. Perfect. And then we could delete that date because that's just there that's available. Okay. And then if you scroll down a little bit, one of the other opportunities we had in the other community where we did this at Cardia, we provided some office hours. So if folks wanted to come and do some, get some bug fixing and whatnot ahead of time. That was an option. Is that something that we want to try to pursue in this community? Maybe some organizations that are maybe further along in development would want to offer some time so that folks that, again, have bugs or want to do some pre-testing could come and do that privately, or, you know, not during the event itself. Is that something we want to try to pursue, if anybody had any suggestions there?
That's an interesting idea there. So Indicio is planning on participating. We have a particular controller for Akapai that we hope to be testing. But since it's a new controller and we have lots of things going on, I don't know that we're going to be ready with it particularly well in advance of actual interop date. I suppose if there's someone who's an expert at running the test harness, maybe one of, we've got, let's see, we've got the 17th and the 24th for before we get to the interop day for this Aries working group. Maybe we want someone who knows how to run the test harness to give everybody a demo in case there's somebody who fiddles around with the agents but has never used the test harness. So that's an idea for that kind of effort. It could be a short demo instead of, you know, office hours or something like that.
Yeah, that would be, I think, a reasonable help there.
Is there anybody on the call who would say, I've actually never run the test harness. So, you know, I couldn't actually run that demo. I'd have to go figure it out first. Is there anyone on the call who would be, you know, comfortable walking someone through something like that?
I've worked a lot with the Aries Agent test harness, but I know IDLab also has a lot of work done on the test harness, and mostly on like also running it like in the cloud. So it depends a bit on what we want to provide, just a demo, or do we also want to like have some cloud or like test harness agents running or something? Not sure.
Hi, Timo. It's Regis from IDLab. Yeah, actually, I'm trying to think, we may have a good recording somewhere. So let me look into that first, because if we have a good recording already that we can share with people, that may help here.
Excellent. Yeah, I'd be happy to help promote promote that as well in the registration process. But yeah, I think doing any, you know, preparation ahead of time is seldom wasted time. I think, you know, watching a video or whatnot is the best, could be the best solution here.
All right. So I guess, Lance, let's put a slot in our agenda for later to say, let's give ID Lab or anyone else who knows where to find one a little time to find a recording, and then maybe point people at that as a way to help people get started for being able to use the test harness. That way we don't have to have formal office hours or an appointment or a visit or whatever, but we can point everybody at what they need to get started. So a video would be fine for me at least.
Yeah, very good.
The only other items I had on that interop doc then. So there's the Google form. We'll go ahead and if everyone's cool with, the questions below. So you can see preface and please RSVP, et cetera. I'll delete those items that don't pertain so that they sync with above. But we had come up with some questions. If you keep scrolling down a little bit, again, I'll edit this bit to reflect our conversation we just had. But these are the five questions that are in the Google form for pre-registration for the event. A lot of the event will happen kind of on the fly. We'll take roll call. We'll see who showed up with what pieces. And we can pair folks off to do the interoperability testing. So, you know, people can bring whatever they want, even if they don't register, we'll take everybody, we'll take if you show up. But just for kind of planning and preparation, it is helpful to pre-register. So these are the questions that we had submitted, or we had included in the Google form. So are you ready to test against Hyperledger Aries test harness or directly with another product and use the UI UX of other products. So I don't know if that's the most accurate wording, but so that's what's in there. Please feel free to edit if anybody has any specifics. Do you have a mobile wallet? And then what agents are you bringing to test? What agents do you want to test against? And which of the following tests are you planning to run? I wasn't sure if that number five, those were the right tests that will be, you know, running, so to speak, or if there's a different way to put that. But anyways, let me know if there's edits, or go ahead and pop in there and make edits to those questions, and I'll update the Google form.
Yeah, very good. In case anybody's just listening and they can't see, the tests categories right now are connection, issuance, verification of credentials, self-attested credentials, basic message, and then Q&A.
Yeah, I think number five will probably want to edit to look like the base and bonus targets that were mentioned.
Okay.
And then the permissions on the form, the way you have it set right now, I couldn't actually see. So you may need to check to see if they're set so that anyone else can see it, or I don't know how that's set.
Yeah, the LF team set this up, so let me change permissions to see. Yeah, anyone with the link? I will work on that. Let's just use the doc here for the copy that will update it to reflect. Cool. Oops. Like. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I will update all of these, but if there's any other questions or clarity that we can provide in the answer options that makes sense for this particular event, please let me know. But other than that, I think we, if we make all those changes and those updates to the messaging and to you know, the basic kind of layout of the event, I think we're on our way. I put up a draft order of events. It opens at 7:30 a.m. Mountain Time, and it runs until 11 o'clock. We do need some hosts for the rooms. Again, folks that are, I guess, familiar with the Aries Test Harness would be high on the list for volunteering a bit of time to help folks navigate that. I imagine there'll also be just some kind of pairing off and folks testing against one another without a host, but I think that having room hosts is helpful. And other than that, I'll do my thing with, you know, getting looping in the Hyperledger staff to get it promoted across social channels and whatnot, and you know, helping get the word out. but if there's no more questions, that's all I had for today.
So is the form already open to publish, or
what's the order of that? Yes, I am trying. I will send out a note on the Aries Working Group email thread, if that's okay. I don't own the form because it is from it was created by a Hyperledger staffer, so I think its controls are such that only people with Linux Foundation emails can see it right now for some reason. So I will adjust the access controls for the Google form, and I will send that out.
Awesome. Helen, it feels to me like you've basically got this down to being a well-oiled machine. So thank you for helping walk us through this and get rolling. It's been a while, I think, since the Aries community has done an interop event. So this is really helpful to have this up here.
Yeah, my pleasure. I would like to figure out how to also put it on the wiki. All this information should be on the wiki. It shouldn't be on a document that's in my Google Drive. So once I figure out how to do that, I will also update everything. So it lives, all this information lives in for future, you know, publicly for future events as well. I just need to figure out how to update the wiki without ruining, messing stuff up.
That sounds great. Go ahead. Sorry.
So this is super exciting, you know, for somebody who's a little bit newer, but also, you know, developing and moving towards essentially interop with the Aries ecosystem. So I'm super excited to attend this, and I hope essentially to, you know, be able to participate in future events as, you know, a host or showing, you know, what we've done. So this is super exciting. Thank you all for setting it up.
So I know that Timo said that he could host a room, and Indicio can host at least two. And then there's someone else that I talked over by accident. Oh, it was Nathaniel said something about helping. And Nathaniel, what were you saying you could help with?
Setting up the file on Wiki, Helen said she needed to figure out how to set it up on Wiki. I said I could help with that.
Oh, okay, cool.
Excellent.
Thank you very much. I know that'd be really helpful. I know there's an events dropdown at the top there in the main menu for Hyperledger Foundation at the top. And I tried to go there, but it didn't, maybe I don't have access controls or something like that, but I was going to add the event there under events.
Yeah, very good. Okay, anything else about Interopathon? I modified the time. I think it had said 11 p.m. So I've modified that.
That would be a long interrupt event.
Big day. Oh, that might actually be up above as well. Yeah, I think it was up above.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
There we go.
Okay,
cool. And we have found this virtual format is really helpful for folks, you know, to just for inclusion. Folks around the world can participate. You know, travel isn't a consideration. So it's nice. And even if you just want to show up and watch, definitely register for the Zoom and attend. And again, if anybody feels strongly about either keeping the Aries working group call Zoom link, the Zoom, or making registration, you know, again, I'm open to whatever is consensus here.
Very good. Okay, so as a substitute host, I think hopefully I didn't ruffle any feathers in terms of status updates. I think it was good to grab onto Interopathon first anyways. Do we have any status updates for Aries Agent Test Harness? We kind of talked a little bit about that already, but okay. How about Aries shared components? Such as shared Rust library, verifiable data registry, or Aries Askar? Okay. And frameworks? How about Akapai? Akapug meeting was great yesterday, by the way. It talked about OCA and touched a little bit on the overlap between that and machine readable governance. So that's exciting.
It was wonderful.
How about AFJ? Any updates?
Yeah, I added some things there. I think we're still working a lot on like the next big release with percent proof v2 JSON-LD credentials. We did add a universal DIT register recently that allows you to register currently DIT solve, DIT pair, and DIT key DITs, and could be extended later on. Yeah, but I think mostly working on the next big release and finalizing the AIP2 targets.
Very good. Okay, how about Aries Framework Go? BCX, Aries BCX. Or AriesFramework.net. Okay, how about the mobile groups?
Aries Bifold making lots of exciting progress. Although our meeting this last week was a little light on attendance due to multiple individuals being out on vacation. So looking forward to our user group call next week.
Yeah, very good. Aries Mobile Agent Xamarin? Aries Max, let's call it. Cool. Anybody else for Mediator Service, Toolbox, SDK, Ursa? All right, very good. Let's see, interop. Timo, did you want to talk about protocol for requesting shortened URLs, or is that left over from last week?
No, I asked Sam to put it on the agenda for today.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, can I share my screen?
Sure. If I am good at... Do you have permissions already, or I can set it to multiple participants? Try now. Yeah, looks good. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to get some feedback on this protocol and maybe some review. I'm currently working on something where there's device to device communication and no server involved. And I noticed that for an end user, like on a mobile device, it's not really possible to create a shortened URL because it doesn't have an endpoint. And in some cases, it can be really useful to have an endpoint to be able to shorten the URL and create either a smaller QR code. Or what I've noticed also is if you create an out-of-band invitation and encode it, and then you send it through WhatsApp, for example, here's an example, is that it, as you can see, the OOB part is not blue. And when you press on this link, it will actually just open the link for the blue part. So iOS truncates URLs that are too long. And this wasn't really a problem, I think, with the old invitations, but with out-of-band invitation, it seems to happen quite more often because they're larger. And this isn't even an invitation that includes a credential or proof request. It's just a simple invitation, like I want to make a connection. That gave me the thought, like maybe a shortened URL protocol could work in this case. In my scenario, I was thinking you already request the endpoint from the mediator, so you can also request a shortened URL from the mediator, but it doesn't have to be necessarily with a mediator. Basically, what you would do is you request a shortened URL by sending the request shortened URL message. You provide the long URL. So in my case, it would be this long out-of-band invitation URL already encoded. I thought that would be the easiest. We could send a JSON over, but then it becomes more like host this JSON object, and this kept it more simple, like existing URL shorteners. Then you can provide like how long it should be valid and a goal code. The goal code is here to work with different out-of-band versions or just shortened versions. OOBv1 has a very specific way how you should shorten URLs and what should be returned. OOBv2 also. And there's also a generic shorten, and that's basically just how most commercial URL shorteners that are available today like have the same process. It's described more down here. So it's basically you just redirect and you set the location header and then you get the long URL. So this allows it to be used for multiple use cases. I think the one I'm mostly interested currently is out-of-band v1. I also added one for out-of-band v2 and a generic one, but we could add other types here in the future. And if the shortened request is like granted, you can add the mediator or like the one that provides the shortened URL, return the shortened URL in it, and then I can use that as the URL for invitation and share that along, and it will have an expires time, and let's say the invitation has been accepted and completed, then I can also manually invalidate it beforehand, so you're not like leaving the invitation available to download on the internet, which is I think also nice. Could be a nice extra addition. So it's quite simple protocol. I think it should also be quite simple to implement. I was just curious if like other people have run into the issue of like long URLs, especially if you're doing edge agent to edge agent connections, and whether they see this as a valid approach or whether they see concerns with it. Let me see. Out-of-band through redirect. I'm not that familiar with this RFC. I read it a while ago.
I'm a little less familiar also with this, Kim, but I think if I recall correctly, this is going to be after you have processed the invitation versus having a short URL that redirects to the invitation.
Yeah, I think it's also like, yeah, where like this is just allows you to specify a URL. And I think, as Stefan also said, like, how is it different from the OV short URL section? Well, the problem here mainly is I, as a mobile device, can't create a shortened URL because I don't have a web server to host it on. So basically, this RFC focuses on asking the mediator, can you give me a shortened version of this URL and host that for me? So when another one tries to download the URL, you get the full URL, but you can share the short URL.
Yeah, to speak up in support of this, we've always focused on how to use them, not how to make them. And we've sort of presumed in that or no one's really run into the situation where you need another party to do the shortening. And I think this is a great addition. The only thing I was going to ask is invalidating, Timo, and you beat me to the punch and it's already in there.
Cool. Yeah. So the expires time or go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I really like this. So far, we've done peer-to-peer, but our process there has been with the Connections V1 invitations. And so we haven't necessarily needed to do shortened URLs as of yet. One of my comments I did have from the out of band is that the shortened URL needs to support either the URL or the JSON. And based off of the language there, it should be JSON by default. So I think we need to probably provide the actual JSON, even though it is a little bit more complicated.
I should fix that URL. Interesting. Does this work? All right, I'll go to the index. I think maybe I thought because it could follow it by just decoding the URL itself to JSON. What that gives us is that if you have this goal code, the mediator or like the host knows what it should return based on what it requests. So if that's the default as described here, it could decode the JSON from the URL, which would mean we can keep this more like URL focused, and the specific goal code then dictates how you can return the right data based on that URL, if that makes sense.
I think that makes sense. Like I guess to be clear, the shortened URL should be a short URL, but what the mediator or whatever is providing that shortened URL service, that could either be JSON or the actual long out of band URL.
So depending on like the headers you provide to the request, so if you have like the JSON header, it would need to return the JSON object form, and it can decode it from the URL it has, the long URL.
Got it. I think since I have not read through the RFC here, it would be maybe useful to mention that it would need to be decoded. But other than that, I don't think we need to add to the actual message then.
Yeah, okay. Now I think that's makes sense to specifically describe that it sometimes needs to decode the URL itself and return JSON based on that. Yeah, I'll add that.
I'll just throw out there that in terms of QR codes, shortened URLs are very welcome. There's a lot of problems with scanning large QR codes and anything we can do to shrink it is helpful.
Timo, one idea might be to update the OOB, shorten URL, to see how these two work together. Is that needed, or is that would that be helpful for somebody who's got to figure this out? Like, I'd be worried they'd come to the outer band and follow that without understanding that this is here, or is that independent?
I think it is independent in the way that this is just an add-on, and I could interact with an agent that uses it under the hood, but I wouldn't necessarily know about it, because for me it's just a shortened URL that I resolve according to the rules described in out of band. So maybe a reference could help in terms of, like, if you need to do this, like if you need shortened URLs on devices without an endpoint, can use something like this.
Okay. Yep.
Timo, I think everything you said was perfectly correct.
Cool. If there's no other comments, I'll do the change that James suggested, and if someone could give this like a review and read through it and see if there's any issues, and otherwise like get it approved, then that would make me happy.
Okay. Yeah, excellent. Thank you, Timo. I guess the RFC process, I just think it's fantastic, that you put that together. It's a pull request. People can review it, comment on it. And we can work it through. It's great. All right, let's see. Back to... Sorry, the interface changed on me again. There we go. Okay, you guys can see that, okay? All right, how about machine readable governance? Mike?
Yes, sir. Okay, so Sam Curran and I have been working with others at the Decentralized Identity Foundation. We're trying to get find machine readable governance a home and create a spec that the community can refer to and utilize. We've made some decent progress with the community. The other members of the community have slightly different interests than Indicio did. And so we spent a couple meetings trying to figure out what the overlap was and what people were interested in doing and seeing. And we're getting close to a version one draft of a particular piece of machine readable governance. So one of the primary concerns with agents is, how do you know that you can trust a particular agent? And sometimes it's, a lot of the times it's useful to say, show me a credential that someone issued to you that as a statement of trust about you or whatever. But sometimes, it's not always true that a credential is going to be the right way to do that. And so we've been working on a way to do sentiment declarations, and to use that to build a trust list. So I think that, let's copy a link here from what we're working on. I'll post that in the chat. So we can take a look at the early trust establishment spec here and take a peek. So you can either bring that up on your screen, or I can share it. It doesn't really matter. Looks like the wrong link. Oh, no, it loaded. That's fun. Cool. All right. So If you scroll down about just a couple screens down, the first black example here. So there's just some common terms and list of people contributing, et cetera. But the data model is where things start to get interesting here. So go a little further. So as we got to talking about how to do a declaration of sentiment or being able to say something about a particular agent or entity, we came to the realization that we all shared, there's a basic data format that would support what all of us wanted to say. So Daniel Buckner was really interested in being able to say, here's a list of agents that are, a list of DIDs that are related to a particular topic. So he was trying to collect, you know, he really likes to work on decentralized web nodes. And so he's looking at ways to, you know, make big lists on very specific topics. At Indicio, we had to do some machine readable governance for a very limited ecosystem. And so we had a look at things that was very entity specific. So we have this short list of agents and what are they, you know, but a very expressive list of things about what they could or could not do. So let's scroll down a little more to the next example. Let's see. So this is like a basic example of a trust topic. So you could say, you know, we have a schema that describes this particular topic, and there's some properties that go with this particular topic. So you could, you know, say something like, we're going to make a list of people who are on time, or let's see, I'm trying to find the right place to start here. Sam, help me out here. So help me find a good place to start here. Where's the base data model in this document? Is that a little further down under formations?
Well, it might be a little further down, but the basic idea is that you're going to say something about entities. This is a little like credentials in reverse, and that's on purpose because it's useful. The topic is a schema that you want to say something about, and then you can say that thing about a variety of different entities. And so there's a couple of different formations about how this works, whether it's like topic or entity or how it's oriented. But the fundamental idea is that you get to say stuff according to a schema about an entity. So generally speaking, you could say, hey, these are the restaurants that have served me terrible food. And of course, that's not a credential that a restaurant's ever going to accept or present to everyone, right? So it allows you to say negative things in a way that credentials don't really facilitate. It also lets you say positive things as an authority. So you can say, these are the list of people whom I trust to, or the publisher of this list trust to issue credential X. So that's applied a little bit closer to the machine readable governance example. And being able to express that is really useful. The fact that it's a schema means, you know, it's predictable and what you're going to get. The other advantage there is that we have used the machine readable governance to describe ecosystem participants and the lack of a good way to get those credentials from the participants themselves. Eventually we'll have that, but it's a really useful thing in the beginning to say, hey, here's like the name of this entity associated with the DID that you're interacting with. And that's a nice sort of authoritative way of getting that into an early ecosystem. And again, hopefully we have better options in the future, but it's a nice bootstrapping step now. And so in addition to saying, I trust this DID for issuing this schema, you can say also, here's like the logo and the business name of the party behind this DID, you know, according to this governance framework. If you decide to trust the publisher of it, then it's easy to integrate that into your application for a cleaner user experience without having to sort of come up with these other ad hoc ways to get that started. It's a little bit of a bootstrapping step.
Yeah, thank you, Sam. It is hard to talk and also try and find or think about something at the same time. So appreciate you giving me a breather there. If you'll scroll down just a little further on this particular example, you can see some of the pieces that are in here. So this particular one is arranged to focus on that topic, that line that's about fifth down that says, here's the schema. And then it has the list of entities that that schema is going to apply to. And then within, you know, the each DID, each entity is those fields that come from that schema. And so in this case, we're talking about perhaps someone who's on time or the goods that they provide. The basics to, you know, if you look at this, you basically end up with an entity, you have a schema, and then you have the data. And it's kind of a tuple that describes, you know, this relationship. And Daniel Buchner was really interested in approaching it from the topic's first kind of arrangement, where he said, you know, I'm really interested in this topic. Let's see what they have to say about people. And then we needed to organize it so that it was a little more convenient to do it from an entity first angle, where we'd say, we're interested in this entity. Let's look at what kind of things that they can, you know, what people are saying about them or what they could do. And so, but since it's the same basic data at the bottom, there are just a couple different ways to organize it. And that's why there are, on the left-hand menu, there are five different arrangements to organize it. But it all boils down to, if you click on the very bottom one, this is just a general list that says, here's just a list of tuples, and you can just look through it. It's, you know, there's no particular hierarchy. It's just the, you know, the topic entity and property, topic entity and properties, the full list of what was there. But you could, you know, if with a little juggling in the JSON, you could approach it from several different angles. Since we got to a point where we had recognized the basic data structure that would support everybody's needs and highlighted a couple ways to rearrange it so that you could find things a little faster as you walked the tree of your JSON. Since we had gotten to a point where we're all agreeing now, the next step from this is to move on to how do you sign your trust list or your declarations here, and then a good way to publish these files. And I think that those are kind of the last two considerations that feel like they're going to be less controversial, since the community is getting pretty good at signing things and has several ways to publish things. So, you know, as soon as we get beyond those couple of things, then I think we'll have at least the trust list or the sentiment declaration portion of machine readable governance ready for a V1 spec. Any other comments or any other comments about all of this?
How much do the Aries community in general, how much do they know about machine readable governance? Have we discussed it significantly in these meetings in the past?
A couple of times. And then Sam and I have presented at IAW twice on this topic.
Okay, yeah.
So the basic idea, though, so far in the community is that we're noticing a lot of people are recognizing the need to be able to build a list of trusted entities for one thing or another, or to, you know, sentiment is becoming a thing where people want to say, let's express some ideas about, you know, like Sam's example, where you might want to say things that would be never accepted as a credential. So people are starting to realize they need it. There are a couple proprietary implementations or limited implementations. So for example, Indicio has worked with the Linux Foundation for Public Health on the Cardia project, which has our limited, or, you know, I guess not limited, it's fairly powerful, but it's not utilized all over the community. It's, you know, in the Aries community, it's just for Cardia at the moment. So there are a couple, you know, they're not broadly adopted, or they're proprietary, a couple implementations that allow people to, you know, govern a set of agents or an ecosystem with machine, you know, readable code, But I think that having the community agree on a format and a standard for it, and you know, so that everybody can, you know, use and understand the same thing, I think that would be, you know, it's now is the time to try and get that to happen, so that as more and more people discover that they need this, or they discover that it's available, could start to use it.
The most common replacement for this that people are doing is hard coding decisions into their apps about which issuers should be trusted and which schemas to you know, orient around, et cetera. And that's got some obvious negative downsides. And so this provides a way to be systematic about it that lets you externalize that. And that way, when those adjustments necessarily come, you're updating a file that the app is referencing, not directly the, you know, deploying new code to make those adjustments themselves.
Yeah, it makes total sense. I mean, it's the being able to express something, a fact about something, or an opinion about something, yeah, a criminal record. If you need to do a background investigation, you can't query somebody and say, "Hey, can you give me your verifiable credentials about your your criminal record or something like that?"
All right, so. Thanks for giving us a couple minutes to go over that. We'll keep everybody posted as this progresses through various states and publication, et cetera. And, you know, we'll, I think once we get the trust list piece, the sentiment declaration piece ready to go, that Simon Nazarenka and I will update our Cardia code to use it. So we can, you know, point to someone, an implementation that shows a way that it could be, you know, put in motion. Etc. So we'll share more later. Thank you.
And if you are interested in joining with us on this, you're welcome to do so. Just ping Mike Ryan. We can help you know when the diff meetings are that we're talking about this, and help you be involved.
Awesome. Very good. I think that's time for us. Thanks everybody for attending and contributing, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Lance.
Yep. Thank you. Let's see here. Nathaniel, could you send me your email so I